You're listening to Up an Octave, a podcast by Sonivia, the podcasting agency that believes that women and non-binary people deserve to take up space in the podcasting industry because our thoughts, voices, and stories matter. Here you'll learn how to make dope podcasts that inspire, educate, convert, and most importantly, make your voice shine. I'm your host, Rue Spence, and I'm here to take podcasting up an octave. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Up an Octave. Today, we are talking about a podcaster's best friend. And no, I don't mean brown sugar iced lattes. No, my friend, today we are talking about Canva. Now, I know that there are graphic designers out there rolling their eyes, but if you are a one-person or even a small-team podcast, Canva is a dream tool. There are so many things that I've used it for, so let's get into it. Now, the free version of Canva absolutely gets the job done, but I have found that the paid version is entirely worth it for how often I use it for myself, but also for my clients. Now, I don't have an affiliate code or a discount or anything to share, but I do think that they have a pretty generous trial period that might get you where you need to go, even if you're not looking to make the investment. So you might give it a shot, use it for a couple months, and then, you know, scale back down to the free version. So if you're being strategic and you only want to pay for a month or two, the first thing that you would start with would be your show artwork. And this is probably the biggest one and also like the first thing that comes to mind with how you would use Canva for your podcast. The cover image for your podcast is most likely the first piece of art or visual branding that you'll create for your show. Now, when you're in Canva, you are able to set the dimensions of your project. So for your cover art, make sure that you set them to 3,000 by 3,000. Way too often I see people having trouble getting their show, especially onto Apple. And the issue is the cover art dimensions like 9 times out of 10. I went a little bit more into cover art and all that in the episode Branding for Your Podcast that I put out last month. But this is somewhere that I think you kind of run the risk of going overboard. Because Canva is fun, and it's like really easy to lose time and turn almost into like a graphic design is my passion kind of girly. So make sure that the art that you're making still looks good and is legible as a teeny tiny thumbnail. Because remember, that is how people are most likely going to be seeing it. It's going to be on their phone, and it's going to be teeny, teeny, tiny. This is also where you're going to start setting the brand identity for your show. So pay attention to the fonts and the colors that you're using. Make sure that you are using them intentionally. Make sure that you aren't just like, oh yeah, that looks good. Like, make sure that it's something that you're proud to stand behind and that you want to be representing you. I'm pretty sure that you can only create a brand hub with a paid account. So if you're not using the paid version, just make sure that you're like making note of the fonts and the hex codes for the colors that you're using so that you can repeat them like when you're making social media assets and anything else that has to do with the visual branding of your podcast. So the brand hub is just a place where you can like set the fonts and the colors that you're using. If you're working a lot with a particular brand, and especially if you are in a position like a social media manager or something where you're working with a lot of brands, that is so helpful. That alone, I feel like the paid version is worth it just because I can click through and just be like, cool, I'm working with this brand. Boom, I have the fonts, I have the colors right at my disposal. But yeah, if you just want to like make a, you know, note on your notes app or Google Keep or whatever you use, just make sure that you know what those exact colors and fonts are so that you can find them when it comes time to make, you know, your Instagram reel covers or carousels or whatever that's looking like for you. Honestly, before you even sit down to Canva, I would spend some time just creating like a mood board. Jot down keywords, you know, whatever your creative process looks like. Take some time to really settle into the vibe of your podcast. Do you want it to be like serious and brooding or quirky and whimsical or like authoritative? What do those words that come to mind that are identifiers for your show, what do those look like? You know, think about the vibe that you're curating, the information that you're sharing, the purpose of your show, the model that it follows, all that good stuff. And then think about what that's going to look like on a podcast cover. Then I think the next thing that's kind of obvious to use Canva for is your social media assets. And this is why it's so important to spend that time cultivating your brand before you even create your cover art, because your social media posts are going to be an extension of that vibe. You're going to be using the same fonts, the same colors, all that stuff is going to be echoed throughout all of your like branding across different channels and platforms. I use Canva, I just mentioned it, to create the covers for all of my reels on Instagram. And if you've been with me for a while, you know that Instagram is my happy place on social media. So even if you're just using like content from your camera, like on your reels, you can customize the cover so that your feed feels more curated. So for example, I have a template for my reel covers that I use every single time. And I just change out the image and like what the text says to match the content. And I do that in Canva, and it's super easy. Sometimes I even do it on my phone. And I'm not like a big app person. Like I would rather be, I don't like typing on my phone. I don't like doing stuff on my phone. My phone is just not my sweet spot. I think I'm like just slightly too old to really vibe with doing stuff on my phone. If I can get my hands on a keyboard, that's my vibe every time. So I also create like all my static posts and carousels, which I mentioned, within Canva, which again, because of the brand hub, takes literally no time at all. All I have to do is generate the content. And because of the brand hub, I just basically copy paste from my Google Keep. And I'm like, cool, this is what this slide says. Boom. This is what this slide says. Boom. Like it's almost done for you. It's so easy. Canva has so many templates available. That you can do just like the search feature for whatever type of post, you know, if it's an infographic, if it's a podcast promotional post, anything like that, just search in their search bar and you can find templates for almost anything that you need. But the caveat with that is to make sure that you're customizing them. A, to make sure that they fit your brand identity, but also B, because I cannot tell you how often I see the exact same Canva Instagram post templates for new episode floating around on the internet. Like, find a way to make yourself stand out, because I am so tired of seeing the same post over and over and over and over again. Yes, it's convenient. Yes, it's right there. But take a few minutes and just like zhuzh it up a little bit. Make it feel like you. Incorporate some of your brand vibe. And I promise you, your podcast will thank you. And so, I mean, on, you know, the topic of zhuzhing, that's somewhere else that I am willing to pay for the premium version, because then you're going to have access to the full library of like stock video and images. And to me, that's super worth it, because I just found, because I started off as a free Canva user like years ago, and I just honestly found that the free library didn't meet all of my needs. And with the amount of content that I'm creating, not just for myself, but for my clients, having the versatility and the diversity was incredibly important to me. That, again, it's like super worth paying for because of the amount of photos and videos that are available within the paid library. And also they have like graphics too. So I should mention that it's like, you know, illustrations, as well as backgrounds, as well as photos, video, like there's just so much content that's available, especially as a paid member. So bonus tip, a super easy way to create sound bites for an episode or audiograms is just to take that little sound bite from your working file, export it on its own, you know, call it episode sound bite, and then you can upload that into Canva and add it to a mobile video sized project. Make the image background one of your brand colors. Find some stock video to add to it just to give it some visual interest or like movement. I like, you know, sunrises or waves crashing, just something that gives it some visual interest. Drop the transparency on that video so that your brand color shows through, and then export it. Then when you go to upload it on Instagram, or I guess publish it on Instagram as a reel, you can use a trending audio with the volume just like super, super low. This works really well for like the acoustic guitar or like piano kind of backgroundy ambient sound ones. Drop it super, super low so it's not fighting for attention from your voice. And then you can use the caption feature to generate captions for what you're saying so that if people are not able to listen with audio on, they can still get value out of it. And then boom, you're good to go. You made a reel. You made an audiogram. And I think that that is really helpful because I think a lot of times we like think, oh, I have to use like Descript or Headliner or one of those, you know, audiogram generating apps to get the subtitling. And so it's honestly like such a huge hack to just use the built-in Instagram captions, which you can also like double tap on and customize them if they did get a word wrong or like the spelling of something wrong. And there's also kind of some back and forth on whether or not Instagram's algorithm pushes out content that's got captions and words imported directly from, like if you're typing it into the Instagram app, some people think that that helps because it's easier for Instagram to recognize the keywords as opposed to just uploading like a fully made video that has everything already integrated in it. So I'm not sure if that's just like an Instagram rumor because there are plenty of those that go around or if there's any salt to it. But either way, you can't go wrong, especially because it's so easy. Next up is advertising materials. And this is another place podcasters don't spend enough time on that they can also be using Canva for. So you can get like really in the weeds here. Think about where your ideal listener is spending their time and what would appeal to them when you're trying to advertise, especially like if you're trying to advertise in the real world and not just on the internet. One of my favorite examples of advertising materials was helping one of my clients who runs a book podcast, and she was like trying to figure out how to appeal to more people in her community because she lives in a pretty big city. And she wanted to get more local listeners because of some of the local events that she has that are partnered with her podcast. And so actually one of the things that we ended up doing was on Canva, creating bookmarks with the info about her show and a QR code to listen that she was able to leave on the counter of one of her favorite local indie bookstores. That's just one example of how you can really identify where your listeners are spending their time, what would appeal to them, and, you know, figuring out ways to market directly to them, and then utilizing Canva to build those assets. So whether it's a bookmark, whether it's a flyer, whether it's business cards, like there's so many different things that you can be using Canva for that you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, I have a podcast, like this makes sense. Beyond that, to dovetail in, is merch. So this is somewhere that I could lose an entire afternoon very easily. You can use Canva to create all sorts of merch designs for your podcast. T-shirts, stickers, mugs, you name it. I know that they do offer printing options, but I'm honestly not sure if that's like the most economical place to go about it. My Sonivia hat that you've probably seen me wearing in my reels or if you've run into me in the wild is a design from Canva, but I printed it through Vistaprint. The same is also true for my business cards. I'm a big Vistaprint fan, and I always have been. So I'll typically design in Canva and then upload it over into Vistaprint to print. So as we kind of start to wrap up on Canva uses, another big one is newsletter design. If a newsletter is a part of your podcast marketing or just your like business in general, you can design elements of that newsletter that goes out using Canva. They have great templates. And honestly, like YouTube is such a helpful resource for trying to figure out how to do different things on Canva. And the same is actually true for your website. So a lot of Sonivia.com is Canva-generated content. I would, you know, work on things over in Canva and then port them over into Wix, where my website is hosted. You'll see it on my main page, on the blog, basically everywhere. There's like a little sprinkle of Canva magic on my site. And then the last one that I want to talk about is freebies. So if it makes sense for you to offer freebies to your audience, Canva is a fantastic tool for making those. All of my freebies are Canva created and then just saved as PDFs and then shared with you. So you can see for yourself by grabbing my guest pitch download from last week's episode, which I've gone ahead and put in the show notes, A, because I think it's super powerful stuff, but B, so you can kind of get an idea of how you can use Canva for your own freebies as well. So make sure you go and check that out. But in general, like I just think that Canva is such a workhorse and that it's really easy to overlook when you're starting a podcast or, you know, you're really not sure what actually creating the visual assets for your show are. I think so many people think of podcasts as, you know, if they're not like video podcasts, being totally non-visual, and Canva's just too powerful to sleep on it. So those are some of my favorite ways to use Canva, but I'm really curious to hear if there are any that you use in your own workflow that I have overlooked. Psst. Hi, I'm interrupting the show to tell you about something special, a chance for us to connect one-on-one. Whether you're thinking about starting a podcast and aren't quite sure where to begin, or maybe you've got a show already, but you're not sure how to grow, I want to let you know about my free consultations. Yep, that's right. Absolutely free. No strings attached, no pressure, just a chance to chat with your fairy pod mother, that's me, about turning your podcast dreams into reality. You'll walk away from our conversation with actionable steps to take, whether or not we end up working together. Think of it as a gift to you and your show as a thank you for listening to the podcast. If listening to me here isn't enough and you're ready to take the next step, let's chat. Find the link to book in the show notes. Now back to the good stuff. All right, so today's question comes from Laura from the Canadianish Comedians podcast, which is just so lovely. I did improv in college, so comedy is super close to my heart, and women doing comedy is also super close to my heart. So she asked this in my Facebook group, Podcasting Up an Octave, which if you're not in it, you should definitely follow the link in the show notes. But I loved it so much that I wanted to share it here. So Laura was asking for my thoughts on PodSqueeze. And if you're not familiar with PodSqueeze, it is an AI software for podcasters that can help with like creating landing pages, social media posts, transcripts, show notes, blog posts, newsletters, soundbites, and more. PodSqueeze is a very busy platform. And I wanted to try it out for myself because I don't like to give feedback on things that I haven't personally used. So after she asked that question, I pretty much immediately signed up for the free version. Now with the free version, you only get 50 minutes, 50, of content per month. And that's not enough for each of my episodes per month, as, you know, typically my episodes are like 20, 30 minutes. So that wouldn't necessarily work for me. And then to get 160 minutes worth of content each month, it's $15 a month when billed monthly. And it's obviously cheaper if you do it annually. The free and $15 a month plans both come with watermarked assets. At $39 a month when billed monthly, you get 320 minutes a month of content, and that's when the watermarks come off of your assets. So I gotta say, I am like pretty morally opposed to paying for a service and having a watermark on it when that is what you're paying for. When I just snag a visual soundbite from Buzzsprout, it's got the Buzzsprout watermark on it, and I don't mind that because I'm paying for Buzzsprout to host my podcast, not make soundbites. It's like a bonus that they offer that at all. But if I'm paying for a service, I want that service to work for me, not then also be free advertising. So that's where I get a little like skeeved out, where I'm like, why am I paying you if I'm also then like free promo for you? But we'll see. I will also say that I had to do some babysitting on the show notes that it generated. It got my name wrong, it got my company wrong, and it just like missed the mark a few different places, especially with my email and the websites that I was mentioning. But I was able to teach it to do better in the future. There is a place where it's like, you know, correct typically misspelled words, but it only gives you one word on the free version. And then if you try and do any others, it's like upgrade. What I really loved though was the automatically generated timestamps. Using timestamps can be super helpful for your SEO because it teaches Google how to make sense of what your content is. I also think that the keywords that it offers and generates for you are especially helpful if you struggle with figuring those out when you're trying to market your show. And the quotes that it polls are also really helpful. And it actually used one that I had already shared on social. So it was cool to see that I was kind of like vibing with it, I guess, that I was on the same wavelength. So I do feel like it polled really impactful quotes. I also definitely loved the newsletter and blog post offerings. Again, I would never advise using them as is, but for idea generation and helping you get sort of the skeleton or the framework of your content, I think that it's pretty powerful stuff. On the downside, I wasn't super happy with the quote images. They only have the one sans serif font that's like kind of basic, and it's just not super customizable. So what I would do to integrate it into my workflow would be using those quotes that it generates and then popping them into the template that I have for my quotes on Canva so that it just feels more synergistic with my brand and a little bit less like a PodSqueeze ad. Overall, I do see the power of PodSqueeze, and I like that it's so tailored to podcasters. I think especially if you are not super comfortable, especially with AI tech, that it can be helpful as like a foot in the door if you're just starting to dip a toe into that kind of workflow. I think that the transcription and timestamps give it a leg up over Descript, which I'm not a huge fan of, and I use it angrily. But I like the ability to make caption sound bites with Descript. So you just kind of have to decide what feature is the most valuable to you for what you're needing for your own show. I'll also add that pretty much everything that PodSqueeze does can be done with ChatGPT. I think if you're going to invest in an AI, that ChatGPT is a great solution because it can be used for more than just podcasting. So that's somewhere else that you might consider putting your efforts and resources. I will say that I am a paid ChatGPT subscriber and that I've created a GPT that like writes content in my voice that I still have to babysit a little bit, but it gets a lot closer than unlock and unleash and dive in, which is so AI. Shout out to Authentic AI for Entrepreneurs, Kinsey, who is just the queen of AI. I can't wait to bring her on to the show at some point. So anyways, I can see myself staying with the free PodSqueeze account and then sharing what it generates into my customized GPT to refine it. And then after that, kind of finalizing it with my human touch. As I mentioned, my episodes are typically about 30 minutes long, so it's a max and a stretch to get 2 episodes a month for me out of PodSqueeze. But I do think that it will help teach me kind of how to craft those assets by getting familiar with the framework that it uses. I have so much resistance to blogs. Like, it is something that I have always struggled with. I would so much rather just do a podcast, but I enjoy consuming blogs and I know that there's so much value in them, but it is just, I hate sitting down to write them. So I feel like if I can get the support from PodSqueeze, that will be really helpful for me. And honestly, something else that you could do is take the newsletter or the blog or whatever that it makes and then use that to teach ChatGPT to create one in the same style for a different episode that's not covered within your like 50 minute time allotment or whatever that PodSqueeze is offering you with the plan that you're at. As long as you see AI as a tool among many other tools in your toolbox and not a solution, I absolutely think that it has a place in your podcast workflow. I've had people ask me if I'm like scared of AI, if I think AI is going to take my job, which I think is a huge and valid conversation that we're having in a lot of industries. But the thing that I say is that like, I'm not afraid of losing jobs to Descript, but I have taken jobs from Descript. I have had people say, I thought I could edit my own podcast with Descript and I'm pulling out my hair and can you do it for me? So I think that AI tools for podcasting are such a great way to start, but I think that they can almost hold up a magnifying glass to the places where it is so helpful to have support if that's within reach for you. If you are super curious about trying PodSqueeze for yourself and you want to give the paid version a shot, I've got a link in the show notes. And if you use the code 10OFF3MONTH, you'll save a little bit of cash. So, you know, give it a shot. Let me know what you think. Laura, thank you so much for your question. And if you have a question, you can share it in the Podcasting Up an Octave Facebook group like Laura did. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram, or you can email me at ru.sonivia@gmail.com. Don't forget to snag your free session with me at the link in the show notes. And I will be back next week to talk about whatever the people in my story on Instagram right now are picking. So I kind of left it up to my audience, and I can't wait to also find out what I'll be talking about next week. So stay tuned for that. That reminds me, make sure that you have subscribed or followed the podcast on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this show on. Before you go, if you could please take a moment to leave me a 5-star rating or a review, because just like your show, mine needs those to grow. The party keeps going on Instagram at Sonivia Studios. And come hang out in that Podcasting Up an Octave Facebook group. It's still super intimate, so that is the best place to get hands-on, one-on-one access to me for free. So come party with us over there, and thank you so much for helping me take podcasting up an octave.